Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr in the North Dakota Corn Council studio on a special day, rebroadcasting highlights of the Dirt Workshop. The first few segments, of course, were on reducing tillage in the field. Now, first of all, it's going to save you money, but what are some of the other benefits? Soil health specialist Dr. Abby Wick visits with NDSU Extension soil researcher Kaylee Gash.
You know, can reducing tillage alone improve structure in a soil or improve the microbial communities enough in 3 to 5 years? Or does adding a cover crop help? Could you add compost or manure to speed things up? What are some of the things that you could do to really improve that change of the soils from reducing tillage to make them the transition easier?
Yeah, that's a great question. So as I mentioned, a soil's natural tendency when it's not disturbed is to allow those microbes and fungi and roots to just help facilitate that aggregation and that building and strengthening of the soil structure. And so certainly if you reduce tillage, that's the first step. That's kind of the most important impact, you know, biggest impact that you can make is reducing the frequency and intensity of tillage. Then, you know, you don't want to leave that soil fallow because plants are the foundation of the soil food web. That material that plants grow out of air and water and nutrients in the soil is what feeds all of the other microbes in the soil, and then other organisms come in and feed on those microbes, and so that's how the system works. And so having growing plants there is really the next most important thing after you reduce your tillage. And the more plants that you can have and the longer that you can have the soil occupied by plants is just going to facilitate that development and all that action of those biological organisms that much faster. And so, sure, if you have, a diverse rotation, that is better than maybe growing one crop year after year after year. If you can add on some cover crops so that you just reduce the time and the space that experiences fallow, then you're just going to be accelerating the development of those healthy soil properties. So on top of that, then yeah, adding some kind of organic matter, one of the best sources of organic matter that you can add is just last year's residue. A lot of the surface residue can, blow away or kind of degrade over time, but those roots, leaving those roots intact and so that they can degrade and feed those soil organisms is, you know, that does a lot of good. If you want to bring in compost or manure, if you have a source for that, and if it fits into the economics of your operation, then, you know, that's more food and fuel for all of those good organisms in the soil that are just gonna, push that recovery forward. And so certainly, as I mentioned, you know, stopping or reducing tillage is the best thing you can do, but then protect the soil and feed it and provide that protection and habitat for the organisms, and they're just going to do their thing, and they're going to do all the work for you, and you'll start to see those benefits over time.
Kaylee, if I could ask a follow-up to that, maybe we have a really good question about metrics. And so biologically, how are there analysis that we can get to track our metrics, and how do we know like this stuff's working biologically? And then maybe after Kaylee, I'll go to Aaron for more of the physical answer to that.
There are tests. There are commercial tests provided by commercial labs that can tell you how much bacteria you have in your soil, how much fungi, those kinds of things. I use those as in my research all the time. They're very useful tools, but I don't necessarily recommend those kinds of tests for farmers because we can talk about, you know, having confidence in the data and what it takes to actually get a data set that you can make solid conclusions from year to year. Maybe we can talk about that in the cafe talk sessions, but there are commercial tests out there for the things that we can't see, the microbes. But really what I like to have faith in, you know, seeing the earthworms. And if you're seeing aggregates and the development of that structure, if you know that you're protecting the soil, keeping it in place, feeding it with residues and organic matter, you just have to have faith that those microbes are there. And I you need to trust us that they are. You don't necessarily need, a commercial test in hand to tell you that. And so So if you're seeing, you know, healthy plants that, you know, you're satisfied with the productivity on that field and you see it improve over time, if you look at your soils and start to see the development of that structure, those are all really good indicators of that biological activity. And so when it comes down to testing and monitoring soil health, I'm a big fan of aggregates and spending time in the field just to get to know your soils and watching them change. And then having faith in the practices that you're doing. You know, we know a lot about how organic matter and the reduction of tillage can improve soils. And the data is there. It's been there for decades.
Thank you, Kaylee. And Aaron, from your perspective, anything to add? If somebody is reducing their tillage, how do they track to see that it's working?
You know, I as a soil physicist, I'm innately interested in how things move. So, you know, and usually that's water. And one of the things, you know, with water on our landscapes is that if you're in an area to where you're worried about excess moisture out in the fields, and so your thought is like, well, if I reduce tillage, is that just going to make even more excess water out there or not? You know, the thing that I look for, or I encourage people to look for, is after rainfall events or even during a rainfall event, you know, go out and see what it actually looks like afterwards. Are your fields, you know, are they sopping wet and soft? And when you walk out, you know, you come back to the truck with 60 more pounds of mud on your boots than what you went into the field. Or are you coming out and you're like, wow, you know, we got a lot of rain, but it doesn't seem like it out there. You know, one of the things when you reduce tillage is that you preserve macropores that are built either by the soil cracking or by, you know, the root systems. Once you give a root system a year or two to kind of start rotting out of some of those pores open up and water moves down. And that's great because if you get water down deep in the soil profile, it stays there longer for later in the crop season when the plants really need it, to when they're, you know, filling grain. That's when they need the most water, is when they're filling grain. And you keep that top of the soil firm so it holds up equipment when you try to drive over it during your typical operation. So, you know, to me, the best combination is a firm, strong soil that drains really good. That is the magic combination that I look for, because that's preserving those aggregates and managing water well in those situations. And I can tell you this, you know, kind of thinking earlier to what Tim was mentioning with the journey and looking out, seeing what other people are doing and stuff. You know, when I started off in agriculture, I was working with rice systems down in Arkansas. And one of the things in rice systems that you'll hear about is puddling soil. It's intentionally tilling soil when it's wet for the purpose of destroying aggregates. And when it dries, it hardens up, and you can maintain a flood. For rice, that's good. It's a water conservation method when you're doing flood-based rice. When you do it for upland crops, it works the other way. It's very destructive for it. So, you know, and that's one of the reasons why I mentioned earlier, even, you know, tilling for the purpose of drying the soil, you might get a wee bit of drying there, but you're working backwards on your drainage. And so going out after rainfalls and seeing how those fields that ponded, that were muddy for, you know, a week, 2 weeks after a good rainfall, when you change a practice, go out and take a look, see if they're still, you know, muddy, if they're sticking, or if you can actually walk out there now and still have clean boots when you come back to the truck.
You are listening to highlights of the Dirt Workshop held the last couple of days and rebroadcasting those special segments here on Farm Talk. And we're going to take a break for the news across the top of the hour. Coming up, we're going to talk about salinity, dealing with low pH soil, wide row corn, and more. In hour number two of Dirt Workshop Highlights, brought to you by North Dakota State University Extension.